welcome back to another episode of She's Busy AF. I'm your host, Lauren Loretto, and today we have Lara Marant on the podcast. So Lara has a background in digital advertising, and she will talk about this a bit more, but her advertising like really is in her DNA. She was born into a family of Chicago advertising agency founders. And so she and I, in this episode, we really bonded on the fact that we have this like agency know-how, agency intel. And in the agency world, there's something called media buying. And in today's day and age, that looks like ad placements on Facebook or like honestly still even TV. And what Lara and I talk about is her expertise, which is helping brands really get in front of their target audience and achieve everything they want with paid media goals through behavioral science and creative media solutions. And the way she does that and what we talk about today is the power of streaming TV ad placement and how accessible it is. Now, before you're like, wait a minute, this is not going to be relevant to me, I'm never going to have an ad on TV, listen to this episode because it's quite interesting what the cost and investment involved is for brands of all different sizes. We talk about a brand on this episode that has quite an interesting ad on TV right now, and it's particularly low budget, but it does really well for them. So we really talk about the power of streaming media, which is when you see those ads on YouTube or on Peacock or Hulu, that's what we're talking about. That is so different than buying a commercial spot on cable or regular TV. And so Lara specifically works with wellness brands, but we really talk about big picture, who this is for, how to, you know, understand the data. We talk about ROI and like measure success of these types of campaigns if it's something you're looking at or we're interested in exploring, whether it's for you, for your clients. So tune into this episode. I really hope you enjoy it. Lara is a Bravo fan just like myself. And so you can probably get a little catch there of our personalities. But tune into the episode. We hope you enjoy it. And here we go. All right. Welcome to the podcast, Lara. I'm so excited you're here today.
Hi, I am so excited, Lauren. Thank you so much for having me on. I can't wait to dive into this all with you.
Yeah, this is going to be a really interesting conversation because as I was sharing with you, we've not brought anyone on to the podcast with this background, this experience, or like this offering, really. And I think it's such an interesting and ever-changing landscape. Mm-hmm. Marketing in general, advertising in general. But now, sure. Like, you know, I think so many marketers are like, oh, TV commercials, like I think they lump that in with like existing traditional commercials when mm-hmm. that's changed a lot. So I'm really excited to talk with you about that. But do you kind of want to share a little bit about your background and you know, really what's brought you to doing what you do today?
Yeah, absolutely. So my background is kind of really varied. I've gone through different ebbs and flows in the advertising industry. I grew up with two parents that were both in advertising. One was a producer and one was a rep for television directors. So both my parents really worked in television. And then my dad went out and started one of the first digital marketing agencies back in the early 90s, and his client was Nike for Chicago. And it turned out to ultimately come full circle, which was very cool. I spent some time at an agency before Instagram was even a thing. And we did a paid media experiential activation for Nike Fuel Band, which isn't along anymore, but it was like Fitbit. They were kind of coming up at the same time. And we did this whole North Side versus South Side, because in Chicago, we have the White Sox and the Cubs. And they competed for fuel points. And so it was really that early stage gamification of a physical device and activating an online community. And so that was one thing that like really drove me to see that there were other ways to merge the in-person and digital footprint of a consumer. And so kind of a little bit before that, I had worked for an agency that was monetizing the out-of-home advertising industry. And so for a little backstory, traditional television is like what we all think of where we grew up, and there was no TV on your phones. There was no TV on your computers. It was just on the TV that was on the wall or on a table or desk or whatever it was on in your house. And that's the way ad placement worked for that was you, an advertiser and a station or a network would kind of come together, and the network would have slots or time periods to sell. And they called it day parts. So you could kind of buy different parts of the day. And that was the best way they could really inform what audience you could maybe interact with as a brand. So kind of like daytime television is a different audience than primetime. And so advertisers would buy in that manner. And just whoever was watching that show in the country, they saw your advertisement. Well, the company I worked for, which was ultimately bought out, we were monetizing the fact that there were televisions now in health clubs. There were televisions in airports. There were televisions in other places. Again, this is before like we all started streaming on our phones. And so we had to work really hard to help advertisers and the networks, we worked with both ends, understand that there was a monetizable market and a more targeted audience that you could start to segment for, say, a health club. Because at a health club versus at your home, people are already buying into a membership. So you know they have a certain amount of money that they have available to spend. So you can advertise strategically to those people. You have a little bit more demographic information, some psychographic, because there's some personality traits that go about with who attends a health club. A little less with airports. We dealt with mostly health clubs. And we ended up bringing on ESPN and CNBC and CNN. And the main reason for that is those were what was typically being played in health clubs, just by default at health clubs. So then I moved down to Houston, Texas after a stint in New York when I was doing that. Then I was doing the Nike stuff in Chicago. My husband is in Houston, Texas for oil and gas. So I came down here and I really wasn't finding or experiencing the same type of marketing options for brands to work with in Houston. I ended up working with a home maintenance and repair company called Goodsmith. And they were really revolutionizing the way that homeowners received maintenance for their home and or kind of having a handyman on staff. And so as they were revolutionizing the way the industry for home maintenance and repair was taken care of, we were looking for alternative ways to really connect with specific audiences and targets that met specific demographic and psychographic opportunities. While social media is a great way, for sure, myself and our small team came across out of home or OTT, over the top advertising, and CTV. And so that was my first taste of it, is connecting with actually specifically Hulu TV, because Hulu TV offers a streaming TV platform for consumers at home, and they have options to have it with ads or without ads. And so they have tons of data on the online behaviors of consumers. So a good way to really understand this is we have probably all seen the memes of like a wife walking past a husband's phone and being like, I want a diamond necklace for Christmas or whatever it may be. Cause we joke that, you know, technology is following us. Well, as creepy as it may sound, technology is following us in the background and it is learning our behaviors. And Hulu TV or Peacock or Netflix all give us the option as advertisers or brands to connect with people that are searching for things that, like brands like ours, that they're looking for. And why I ended up starting Cultivating Media is because I loved the idea that advertisement could shift from being something that interrupted our television or whatever it was that we were doing and could provide value add to our lives. So say you and I are watching the same Bravo show on Peacock, we can see different, and likely we will see different advertisements because our digital online behavior is different. And advertisers are now able to target from interest-based targeting, I'm talking about, because that's really what's key here, is interest-based targeting on a TV commercial to the consumer. And the cost is higher than social, higher than Google ads, certainly, but substantially lower than traditional TV. And honestly, it's pretty close to on par now that LinkedIn's blowing up. LinkedIn paid ads are kind of expensive in comparison. Yeah. And the return on investment is pretty low because really it's just brand presence that they're able to achieve right now. It's kind of similar with connected TV, as you're getting a wider brand presence. We can target that online behavior and see some really specific, tangible feedback of the whole person. So that's, I think I answered your question short of the long. I could talk for hours about this. So
yeah, no, literally, we totally could. Well, I mean, I have so many different directions I want to go here, but like one thing that immediately pops to my mind is like, what type of insights can you glean from how an ad's performing? So for example, I think most people understand with social ads, with Google ads, you get a lot of things. You get impressions, clicks, reach. With YouTube, you get like through plays. I mean, same with, you know, like how long or what percentage was it watched? What does that look like on streaming platforms? What kind of like, what insights can are usually typically drawn? And like, what do people take action on to determine if it's working or not?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think it's definitely very specific to any brand's goals that they set at the beginning of a campaign, just like all paid media or marketing ventures. I would say it likens a little bit more to YouTube because we're looking at completion rates. We're looking at if it's on OTT, which is over the top, that can land or live on a computer, a tablet, or a mobile device versus CTV, which is the actual connected TV in your house. So with OTT, you can have like a QR code or a call to action or a click button. So we can really see that click-through rate very similarly to YouTube. So I think I'd say I'd liken it the most to YouTube of like the way that we can infer information. What I love about it is YouTube still, I mean, so many people are on YouTube, but it's still like kind of a segmented component of market, whereas streaming TV or television in general hits an even wider mass of people. So while you have a wider mass to choose from, you're segmenting down to your interest-based desires, and you can kind of A/B test maybe a few different personas or test, again, you have a wider audience that you're dealing with to test the visuals, the call to actions, all of those components that I think really brings an engaging data analytics end on the back end. So I'd say the biggest difference between any of them is just how big the audience is versus YouTube.
Yeah, it's just so interesting because, you know, when I watch ads on streaming platforms, mm-hmm. so let's just say it's my TV, mm-hmm. I can't tell you one time I've actually clicked.
Right.
Which I don't know is a facet of like me and my demographic. Like I don't want to go away from the video, the thing I'm watching. Like I'm there to watch that. But there is a brand awareness play in my mind. So like I'm going to see it. I'm going to, you know, whether it's HelloFresh or whatever. Like, so like I guess, you know, from what I understand from the marketing and advertising world, it's like, okay, brand awareness. It's, you know, direct visits to website. It's like mm-hmm. there's so many different things you can measure, I guess, as a result. But, you know, our That's me. That's I'm one person. Like someone listening to this podcast could be like, no, I totally click. So like, or I scan the QR code. Like what? Yeah, I don't know the question. I don't know if the question I'm trying to ask is like, what is most popular or like what the different demographics do? Like, are you able to understand any of that?
I think what the big difference is making sure it's something that's super valuable to the consumer. So. And it's really also talking about what platform they're on. And additionally, with any good streaming TV campaign or activation, you really want to have either paid social or Google or some other component of marketing in play to retarget those people that have seen your campaign. So it's another lever is what I would put it as. So maybe call it the top of the funnel for brand awareness, and you may get clicks or completion. We can track, assuming the correct pixels are set up, we can track kind of the journey of, okay, and make some inferences. So we know that this audience or this consumer that is interested in this saw this ad on streaming TV. Then we see that they may have been served through the same campaign, Instagram ad or a Google ad because they're landing on XYZ site. And we can infer from that that they're, and then they took an action. We can do a lot of inference right now of they originally saw it here. They took this action in X amount of days is how we typically do it right now. And then, so the original kind of spark came from streaming TV. So I would mostly say it's a brand awareness top of funnel play, but it is kind of similar to how a lot of brands, when they're getting ready to like spend bigger, they go to Sirius Radio to test out like, does this play with a larger audience? And Sirius Radio has a lower overhead cost, but there's no like clickability, visual, anything. So any brand that really thrives on a visual or a movement is really great for this, that can really inspire someone. And so often as an agency owner, I really pay attention to who's advertising on Sirius Radio, because that gives me insight as to what potential moves a brand may be about to do.
Yeah.
Just as like a little insight for the agency people out there.
No, it's so interesting. It's so interesting. Okay. So kind of on that tone, you know, how would a business know they're ready for streaming TV ad placements? And like who does this really work best for? B2B, B2C? Yeah. Like, can you categorize any of that?
Yeah, I think any, I would say D2C, anything that's direct to consumer, it's fantastic for. Because if you have a strong online presence or the action takes place online, you're going to be able to have the best trackable results. So that's who I tend to work with. Additionally, the most important thing probably is you have to have a strong brand presence already. Like you have to have your cohesive branding in place so that people can recognize when there's been a streaming ad they saw to the Instagram page. And we all know we check out brands. Like we don't buy blindly. We're going to check and see, okay, let's see what their Instagram page is. Let's see what their TikTok is or whatever it may be. Let's check them out before we move forward. I think another thing I love looking at is kind of, I have these amazing tools where I can see the psychographics and see if the target consumer is more likely to be influenced by an online ad versus that kind of segment of your audience really only listens to friends and family. So I think really deeply understanding your client or consumer is super important if you're going to venture into a higher ROAS cost per thousand for advertising.
Yeah. So, okay, along with this, probably burning question in a lot of people's minds, it's like, what is a typical production cost to create something that, you know, can perform well? And like with your clients, do you typically see them creating multiple pieces of content and A/B testing that, or do they kind of just come out the gate strong with one thing?
I've seen a few different ways, and it's kind of fun to be like in the wild, wild west of something that's on the cusp of transitioning, because I don't think a lot of people know about the streaming TV option unless they're a major brand. And I'll give an example. As I don't know for most of the listeners if Hop Daddy, this burger joint that's here in Houston, Texas, exists, but just recently I've been seeing a ton of ads on my streaming platform for Hop Daddy. And I'm not kidding you. And I know how it's been created, but there's no way they spent over $500 or $1,000 on the ad.
Like, no way.
To create it. And the reason I know this is because there's, with the whole like emergence of AI and like all of these platforms that can quickly convert like social media, you know, posts that you had into formatting for streaming TV, I can leave some platforms that brands can like pass along to you that they can use. All you need to do is like, here's the copy I want. I want this type of visual and this like call to action, and it will generate something. So it literally kind of just looks like a slide deck, the Hop Daddy ad, or like a video, but it's getting that brand presence out there. And I have to tell you, while the ad is like maybe not that sexy, I love every time I see it. And I remember it for two reasons. One, it's kind of because it's not sexy and not on par with all the other ads that are there. So it like stops me a little bit because I pay attention to them. And then because it's not a massive Fortune 500 company. It's not some sort of prescription pill or whatever else is advertised often. So I love that brands are starting to kind of like take that risk. You don't have to spend a ton to create something. And you can, what I love about what Hop Daddy did is that's a really low overhead way where they can start to A/B test the verbiage. So they can test which language resonates best. And they're kind of doing it backwards. A lot of times with brands on paid social, we'll test first the imagery and then we'll test language, you know, headline, copy, et cetera. They're doing it the reverse. And it's a better way for streaming TV to learn what language resonates. And then they can go back and maybe film something. But these days, again, with filming, like, there's so much user-generated content out there in the world that resonates more deeply with the consumer that you can find a videographer or even film from your phone if you happen to be someone that like knows how to capture light and all of that, you know, framing and all that sort of stuff. Capture it on your phone and you can convert it into an ad for streaming TV. And I just think that's so cool because in the past, I mean, I grew up in a family that did like Anheuser-Busch commercials or American Airlines, and that was like six-figure easy for production costs, and then like let alone the ad placement. And it's just not that anymore. And I think that is so exciting to bring that to smaller businesses.
I do too. And I think it just makes it so accessible for smaller businesses as well. And, you know, while our business lives mostly, I say mostly because we do have clients in the D2C and B2C space, but we live mostly in the B2B space. And like, I even think there's potential and opportunity there, you know, and just with so many platforms, the rise of podcasting, you know, like I hear most of my content on those podcasts and I'm like so curious to see, like I get most of the ads. Do you know The Toast with Jackie and Claudia Osh, right? Okay. Yeah. That's like my guilty pleasure. Listen, I listen every single day. Okay. Like, listen, I got to keep up to date on celebrity gossip, and they love Taylor Swift, and so do I. So like, it makes a lot of sense. It's on brand for me, and their sponsored ads are incredible. But I'm like, the brands they promote, I'm like, I don't see them on streaming platforms. And I really think, like, you know, it's funny, a podcast that I think is coming out before this one is actually with someone who was formerly a brand. She was a buyer for Target, like retail.
Oh, okay.
You know, so and so we had this conversation about how like D2C brands right now, it's a struggle. It's a struggle for D2C brands to sell products because just the economy and a lot of other factors. Mm-hmm. And so it's our conversation was really around like go to a buyer, you know, like work with a buyer. But I see that like the introduction of streaming and streaming ads and just the awareness around it can be something that D2C brands can really leverage right now too. And that's kind of why I talked about the podcast thing, because for example, like Boll & Branch and Caraway, I've yet to see any ads from them, but like, and so you see a lot of application through influencers and you see a lot of application through podcasts and stuff like that. But like, I'm like almost ready to pull the trigger. And I bet you if I had some visual representation or something over like streaming, it would do the trick. It's crazy. Yeah. And I think, I think there needs to totally be more awareness around this.
And what's really cool is those brands, since they have all that user generated content, assuming they get the approval from the person that's in that content, they could just take that user generated content, put a tagline on it and put it on a streaming ad. Like most of the time it's convertible to the formatting for streaming TV, something like that. And that would probably resonate even more with their target consumer than a flashy, like massive budget commercial. And I mean, those brands also, they do have like content that they have curated that's beautiful already, so they could use that too. And I think it's really just a matter of like awareness about streaming TV. Like not only is it for the brand awareness, but a lot of people just aren't even aware that streaming TV is something. And You said something that made me, you were talking about podcasts and it made me think about something interesting I noticed about myself last night is I've never been like a big concert goer. I do like them, but I don't go to a ton of them. I do like theater. I try to go when I can. Something I noticed about myself this year as Thursday, I'm going to another one is I seem to be showing up to all these in-person podcast recordings. And so I'm going to my third one on Thursday. And I was like, I didn't realize that's like my thing. I didn't know that.
So
like,
funny.
I think it's really fun that a lot of podcasts are bringing like these tours out. And it's kind of like a varying type of podcast I've gone to listen to and size of possible audience. But it's really fun to like be in a room full of people that also like love what that podcast is. Because podcasts are like an exploding thing on the marketplace while they have been around for a long time.
I know,
that was just like a funny little thing that I realized about myself last night.
No, that is really funny. No, that's really interesting. I've been to a couple podcast tours as well, and it is super fun. So that is really
and
interesting.
I think the most famous one is probably Smartless for doing podcast tours. I think probably are what put that idea or that bug or that on the map, because Smartless really just killed it.
Yeah.
With bringing that out onto the road. And they were kind of one of the earlier stage ones to do that.
That's so true. That's so true. Yeah, I've been to a few. I went to Jordan B. Peterson. I went to one of his. That was so interesting. And I went to, I've been to like two of Stassi Schroeder's.
Oh, fun.
And the Call Her Daddy one looks really, like, I don't listen to that show because it's like a little much for me sometimes.
Yeah.
But I'll listen, like, I listened for like Ariana Maddox and I listened for like when Stassi's on it. But
yeah. The one I'm going to on Thursday, I'm totally blanking. Beer and Pillows, I think it's Austin Kroll and Austin Kroll and Craig from Southern Charm. And
I love Southern Charm.
Going to be so funny. And it's so random. But yeah.
It is so funny. Oh my gosh. Okay, circling back a little bit, I had a question pop into my head. What role did the streaming platforms play? You know, like in my mind, it's like, I'm not in the books. I don't see the numbers, but it seems like there isn't a lot of awareness. And it's so great that you're here in the community, like spreading the awareness for streaming platforms. But is there like, seems like a silly question, but like, do the streaming platforms play a role in helping spread that awareness, like to brands that aren't just like big shops?
So I think the one that's doing it the best right now is Hulu. And the reason they're the one doing it the best is because they have the lowest entry cost. So they're kind of the most reasonable pricing for a smaller size brand to enter into dabbling in paid media to kind of see how streaming paid media to see how it works for them. I wouldn't really say Netflix does a whole lot on it. Peacock, you know, Peacock's a newer-ish formed streaming platform. I think it's just starting to. I think who and where is doing more of it is a lot of like almost like DSPs that, like, for instance, Ryan Reynolds has a stake in a company called, I think it's Mountain. I'll have to double check what it is, but it is a streaming platform, like kind of, it's called a DSP, but it's kind of like an aggregate. The networks go to that, the advertisers go to that, and they sell the space. And they'll get like kind of premier space. But because Ryan Reynolds is one of the founders or investors, he does ads for Mountain to help people understand, mostly agency people, I would say, less consumer and small businesses, understand that this is an opportunity out there they should take advantage of.
Oh, that's so cool. That's so interesting. So
yeah, but I'd say Hulu does social paid advertisements. I know for a fact.
To promote it.
They do social paid advertisements to promote and capture the attention of agency owners and small businesses in order to build brand awareness on their advertising abilities.
That's so cool. I'm always interested in the back end of things. Like, I want to know at the end of the day, what's the profit that a restaurant's making on a burger? Like, that's I want to know.
Yeah, well, And Hulu gives you, like, when you go to their site, if you're a small business, they give you like all those link outs for who could create the ad for you, like I was talking about earlier, or any of that stuff, so that they can help assist you to get onto their platform. because they're trying to, for them, if they have better advertisements, people are more likely to choose them over someone else, because at the end of the day, when you're not paying for ad free, you're going to pick the one that's kind of ultimately suits you better. And a lot of times that will be what feels less disruptive to your ability to digest the content of the show you want to watch.
Yeah. And you really don't see a lot of advertising platforms that are like pro business. And I, you know, okay. So this leads me to my next question, which is, do you think this is because, I'm making a total assumption,
yeah,
do these streaming platforms make most of their money off advertisers?
I think that they are trying to. I think most streaming platforms are not making money anymore, but they are trying to figure out ways to make money. And the way that they're doing that now is by creating like tiered system of ad and ad free and maybe shorter ads and longer ads. They're making it more complicated and they're intentionally, but they're seeing in the marketplace that there is so many streaming platforms now that are coming out with, that have come out with original content, that the consumers all want all streaming platforms. So we cut the cord, a lot of us, and we switched to maybe like Netflix we were okay with, or YouTube TV. And then our friend said, oh, have you seen this amazing new show that only lives on Max? Well, now I'm going to go download the Max app because I want to see that show. Well, now I have like 16 streaming platforms that I'm paying for. So advertisers these networks are realizing, or streaming platforms, that, okay, well, we can create an ad version that helps us recoup some of that lost cost that we're having and let them not have to pay for our streaming platform, still get our original content, but they now see ads. And what I think is hysterical is it's basically, we all cut the cord. The streaming platforms then got a lot, there was a lot more of them. We wanted to watch their shows. So now we're all just like essentially curating our own television broadcaster, like our own, we have our own like DirecTV or Comcast that we've curated, because if you have them all, you're basically paying the same price.
Yeah. Oh, it's so funny. No, it's really interesting too, which is a total sidebar, but like, you know, we have Xfinity and I think you can buy through them. So you just like, it's like add-ons that go right into your plan too.
Yep.
No, it's crazy. It's totally a rabbit hole. I will admit that I share some streaming platforms with family because I'm like, this could be literally $300 a month if I, you know, I'm all over the place here. So
I think most people do. And there was a huge drop off in Netflix just recently when they tried to crack down on that. They had a huge like subscription drop because it was interesting what happened with Netflix when they cracked down on that. People were not happy.
I think with them, it's like limit the profiles because we all want curated. Yeah. Like I'm so scared. Yeah. I've been on my sister's Netflix for so long, which is so funny because she's 6 years younger than me. So like really, I need to get my stuff together. But the only reason I have not created my own Netflix is because I have so much, like there's so much data there, it knows what I like, and so I don't want to start over, and I don't want to go to a new platform where so like, hey Netflix, if you make it easy for me to get my own profile and like transfer my data, I will totally pay for my own account. But I really think Netflix? They should
you hear that Netflix
I think if they limited user profiles or something, I don't know, it would be better. But
well, and go ahead.
No, I just said I wanted to come full circle here and talk about you and how like you help brands. So I know you focus in the wellness and health space. How, what does it look like if someone were to come to you? Do they come to you and they just say, okay, I think I'm ready to add this to our marketing toolkit. I'm ready to take advantage of this. What do you offer for brands?
Yeah, sure. So I offer kind of three different directions that I can work with brands. They are complementary to each other. Some brands may come to me and they are very clear and aware of who their targeted audience is, what their ideal client looks like, and their branding is top notch. They have a marketing team and they just want someone that's specialized in streaming TV to place their ads for them. And so in that case, it's really just more of transactional and then data analysis for their brands. I will provide some insights of what I'm seeing through the data that is or is not working, or maybe you need to connect like, hey, you might want to check this messaging. Let's try a little something of this because this doesn't seem to be resonating on this platform because it is different for platforms. The other way when I work with even smaller brands is they may have like really killer following or traction, I should say, with their community or their ideal client, but they don't actually know what it is. So they're just doing it and it works. And so in that case, usually I'll do either like kind of a buyer persona workshop with them, which is kind of like the baby entry, or a full-on target analysis, target audience analysis. And those two, my recommendation really comes from how big their presence is in whatever marketplace that they are strongest. And the buyer persona workshop, it's really me taking a look at what they currently have and that they're rocking and give them the interest, the language, all of the information that they can then use for targeting. So for effective streaming TV platform advertising. So really give them the specific terminology of what they're already doing online that they may not know what that is and how to correlate that into useful parameters. And then the target audience analysis really is for a larger small business because I typically only work with small businesses. That's kind of where my passion falls. And that's really, they may have some understanding of their audience and their ideal client and even those interests and how to correlate it to maybe paid social or something. But I'll look at theirs and see if there's any audience segmentations that they might be missing or that they could attract that might be great for their brand. So really work on that more segmenting their audience so that we can get even broader reach while staying specific to their ultimate goals. And then fine tune those ad placements into those specific audiences. And so I'd say that's the biggest way that I work with brands. And I love like diving into a brand and then leveraging that into paid media so that we can reap the rewards.
Yeah. Oh, that's super cool. I love that. Yay.
Yeah. Well,
is there anything else you want to share with the audience? Any other tips or tricks or anything?
I think the biggest thing that's really been on my heart lately as an agency owner, as well as just a longtime marketer, is just reminding everyone to listen. Like, leave space for your ideal client, leave space for your community, like just be present and hear what they're saying. Like, really listen to the language that they're using, the words that they're using, what they're coming to you with, because that 100% will inform a really effective paid media strategy. And if you want to make the most of the money you're spending on your brand, you need to really kind of, yes, stay in your own values, but listen to what the people are that are advocates of your brand, what they're saying, and use that to inform any paid media strategy.
Super cool. Okay, where can everyone find and connect with you online?
Yeah, so the best places to connect with me online, obviously a website, cultivatingmedia.com. I won't spell it out because I'm sure it will just be tagged in the show notes. And then on Instagram and LinkedIn, I go on my personal profile currently still, and it's at @Laura_Morant. For Instagram, and then LinkedIn is just Laura Morant. And again, they'll be tagged, so no need to spell.
Super cool. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. Definitely a different topic than we've ever covered, but I think one that's really valuable. So I'm excited to help you spread the word about this service in your business. And thank you so much for tuning in.
Thank you, Lauren. Thank you, everyone, for listening. You have a great day.